Hi, this week the question is, why did Jesus call himself the Son of Man? In Matthew 8, verse 20, Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." This is the first occurrence in the New Testament where Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. This title is used to describe Jesus 32 times in the book of Matthew, 14 times in the book of Mark, 26 times in the book of Luke, and 12 times in the book of John. Jesus occasionally calls himself the Son of God, but not very often. Most of the time, he referred to himself by this title, the Son of Man. Now, the question is why? One passage that sheds some light on this subject is when Jesus was on trial for his life. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 63 and 64, the Bible says, "Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, 'I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus said to him, 'It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.'" Notice that Jesus was put under an oath. He was asked by the high priest if he believed himself to be the Son of God. In verse 64, Jesus answered that question in the affirmative. In other words, he admitted he was the Son of God, and then he applies the title of the Son of Man to himself. Now, this passage clearly indicates that Jesus viewed the title Son of Man as equivalent to the title Son of God. The title Son of Man indicated that Jesus was the divine human Messiah. This title Son of Man was used in the Old Testament book of Daniel, and it described the Messiah. The Messiah would not only be divine, but human, and would be crowned as king and rule over the kingdom of God. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed." Now think about this passage very carefully. The title Son of Man was the Old Testament designation for the Messiah, the one who would receive the kingdom of God and would rule over all people, nations, and would have all men serve him. He would have everlasting dominion, and his kingdom would never be destroyed. The Messiah would be the Savior of men. In order to save men, the Messiah would have to come into the world as a man himself. A redeemer in the Old Testament was a near relative to someone who was desperate. This near relative, this redeemer, had the right to buy his near kinsman out of bondage, according to Leviticus 25, verse 48. This near relative redeemer could buy back property that had been seized by the creditors, Leviticus 25, verse 25. He could care for his childless widow, Ruth 3, verse 13. Or he could avenge his blood on a murderer, Numbers 35, verse 19, a murderer of one of his near relatives. So, in order for the Lord to be the redeemer of mankind, he had to become related to man. He had to be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7, verse 14. And this made Jesus a blood relative. This made him the Son of Man. He was not only the Son of God, but he was also a human related to us, a near kinsman who could redeem us from sin. He became a near kinsman when he was born of Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. And because Jesus himself never committed a sin, he was able to pay the price to purchase us out of the bondage of sin. He could save us from our sins because he was not personally guilty of any sins of his own. A question, who then will Jesus redeem? Who will he save? In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "Though he was a son, Yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. If you would have Jesus save you from your own sins, then you must obey the Lord in baptism to have your sins washed away. Acts 22, verse 16. To learn more about baptism, we invite you to leave your name and address at the sound of the tone, and we will send you, free of charge, a booklet that we've entitled, Over 40 Questions About Baptism Answered. So think about that, and we appreciate you for listening to our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com. There are no spaces between those words, willofthelord.com. And there at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of the message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.